Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. Work with speculators and hedgers and users and producers. Do anything from futures and options to OTC and swaps. Also do some consulting for our hedge clients. If you have any questions for me, you can always give me a call at 312-706-7610 or email craig.turner@stonex.com. Clients can always reach me by those numbers, my cell, or text me. If you like the podcast, please go over to iTunes and give us a positive review. It's how people find us, and feel free to send that along to anyone you think might like it. If you want to check out the newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com and find it there. And yeah, let's get into it. So, man, so I guess this week the macro markets really took center stage. You know, inflation keeps on going up around the world. Interest rates are going higher, economic growth is an issue, and there is this concern of stagflation. Then you take a look at some of these stock indices, and they've really started to come down. I mean, the NASDAQ alone on the tech side has just been unbelievable how much that's come down. But, you know, I always have my barometer as the S&P 500. You know, it's probably the one that represents the U.S. economy the most. But because so many of those firms are multinational, I mean, they all are at this point, gives you also an idea of what's going on around the world or business around the world too. So the, I want to say from top to bottom, a 20% correction in the S&P 500 futures would be a close below, let's say, 3840. Now, the significance of that is if you fall 20% from peak, from the highs, then you're technically in a bear market. So we dipped down there today, which is Friday, the 20th, and then by the close we were able to come up above that 20% line. We'll see what happens next week. I get the feeling it's kind of the inevitable, and we will have a technical definition of a bear market in the broader stock indices. So what that means in the money flow and the selling and kind of the defensive positioning, we'll just have to see. But it doesn't look great for the stock market or the economy. A lot of people are now talking about recession. A lot of analysts and organizations, the Fed has, you know, brought up the risk about it too. So I would say going forward, the market's going to price in some kind of recession if it hasn't already. And the question will just be how long it lasts and how severe it will be. And, you know, we'll see if the, you know, the Fed will have to do. I think, you know, just I'm going to put in a chart, a 60-year chart. I'm going to put it in of corn. And I'm going to put it in the 60-year because I want to show everyone where corn was trading in the 60s. It's basically $1 to $2 a bushel up until the early 70s. And then what ends up happening is you get the great inflation of the 1970s, and corn goes from a $1 to $2 market to a $2 to $4 market, basically doubles, and it stays there until early 2000s. So, and you take a look at anything, you can take a look at anything in the grain market, soybeans, wheat, go ahead and take a look at a 60-year chart, and you'll see in the 60s, how prices were very stable until the inflation in the 70s. And it's one of these things where, you know, sometimes inflation is transitory. Sometimes it is structural in nature. You know, what's going on right now, I'm concerned are two things. I think they're both happening. One, part of the inflation is transitory. Like, it is. But some of it definitely is structural too. And that's really where the problem lies. Because when you have structural inflation, it never really comes back down. Like transit, you know, something being transitory means, you know, you have some kind of either big, you know, temporary, big spike in demand, or something happens on the supply side, like a drought, and then prices are high for a cycle or something like that. And we are tight on supply. There's no doubt about that in the grain markets and also in energy. But the thing is, like, when supplies come back, you know, when production is able to catch up, what are the new lows? Because that's how you know what how inflation really has changed the market. So when I had this 60-year chart, and you can see the spike in the 70s, you can see the spike right after the renewable fuel standard, and you see those highs. But what I want you to look on that chart is, what are the new lows? Like a year or two later, when the market, when production catches up with demand, what are the new lows? And that's what I've been thinking about lately for corn, for wheat, for soybeans, canola, spring wheat, and also the energy markets too. Like, what are the new lows? Like, I don't see canola going back to, you know, 400 per ton or lower. And I don't see the wheat market going back to $4 or $5 or $6. But, you know, maybe $6 is the new low for wheat if inflation is as bad as we think it is. And also, inflation doesn't stop now, right? Inflation, you know, there's no magic bullet that the Fed and central banks around the world can do right now to keep, they can slow it down or start to fight it. But, you know, at 8%, 9%, and, you know, for Europe and some parts of Europe and the United States, and I want to say 5 or 6% for Canada and Italy and some of the other developed nations. I mean, when you're, you know, when you're 5 or 6% and you're on the good side of it, that's not great. And, you know, for the developed nations like the United States and the United Kingdom and Spain and, you know, Germany, which are, I think, all above 8 right now, that's not good either. So, well, how much of it's structural? Because the structural part doesn't come back. The transitory stuff does. And that's why, you know, that's why it's such a big deal when the Fed says this inflation isn't transitory anymore. Because when production cycles come back in and we have more supply, we won't go back to those lows. So anyways, that's just something to keep an eye on and going forward. So when I take a look at the corn market, start with corn first. So let's talk about corn. We'll talk about North America right now. So Canada and the United States. When I take a look at both of those countries, North America as a whole, you can't expand farmland. If anything, you might even be getting less, especially in the United States. So when I take a look at the kind of acres we need for corn and soybeans, that's a 180 to 181 combined. It's very difficult to get any, squeeze any more acreage in the United States for that. And for wheat, we've gone, you know, from the mid 40s, now we're at 47 million acres, all wheat. It's hard to get to 50 with keeping corn and wheat, I mean, corn and soybeans at 180 and not taken away from like sorghum or hay or something, you know, something substantial, and you can't really pull it out of prevent plant. So, you know, when I was running my models for the grain markets for next year and the year after, so right now your new crop is the 22-23 marketing year, I started making assumptions for 23-24 and 24-25 just using average yields and realistic demand numbers. And I find it very hard to come up with the right mix of acres between corn, wheat, and soybeans to get burdensome stocks. I mean, at best, I can, over a two-year period, I can get back to adequate stocks, which before the whole inflation would have meant like $4 corn and $6 wheat and $10 soybeans. Now that we have all this inflation, maybe that means $4.50 corn. Maybe that means $7 wheat. Maybe that means, I don't know, $11 or $12 beans. I mean, we'll just have to find out. But what it does tell me is when I go through these charts and these examples, the only way to get corn, soybeans, and wheat back to, let's say, burdensome supplies, where you can see where a true low is in these markets when you have too much of it, we're going to need exports to come down. That's really the only way to happen. And the only way for exports to come down is for production in South America, in Europe, and in Asia to go higher. And whether that be, it's easier to solve in soybeans, because in soybeans, you get a lot of production out of South America, and they're actually expanding acreage, maybe like 3% a year. So over time, when I'm running these models, I can see more and more soybean production coming out of South America. You can't get any more canola production, which is interesting. So, that's kind of bullish for canola, but I can get more soybean production coming out of South America. And that at least helps on those balance sheets a little bit. There's still the Black Sea issue with sunflower, but you can also get more production coming out of Malaysia and Indonesia in the oilseed space. So that seems like the easiest thing to solve on the balance sheets over the next, let's say, for soybeans over the next 6 to 12 months, you can start putting a dent in the exports that may be needed out of Canada for canola, and especially US, the soybeans for US, if you get bigger oilseed crops around the world. What's more difficult to solve in terms of high prices right now is corn and wheat, because corn and wheat, such a heavy part of the gap that needs to happen on the production side, is in the Black Sea area. So if, for soybeans, we have acreage expansion in South America, if prices are high. In corn and wheat, we've got to somehow get back to where we were, before the Ukraine-Russian war. And those problems are harder to solve, I think, on the balance sheet in the short term. And I think we could see basically production issues or elevated prices for beans and corn, for maybe another cycle past soybeans. So instead of, soybeans solving and oilseeds solving their problems in the next 6 to 12 months, corn and wheat could be a 12 month plus type issue, at least a couple of cycles. The good news about wheat is that we do have spring wheat and winter wheat produced in all four corners of the world: Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, Eastern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere. So wheat will keep on having supply come, but the loss out of the Black Sea is just very difficult to make up for in a short amount of time. You take a look at the charts, you've had a big, very big correction here in the wheat markets. But if you draw a trend line, we could still come down to $12 in spring wheat and in Kansas City wheat, which is another like 80 cents in spring wheat, another 40 or 50 cents in hard red winter wheat. And we'd still be above or right at that trend line at that point. So there's still a ways to come down in some of these markets if we're going to continue to sell off. So soybeans get solved, or the next potential, hopefully we have a good crop here in the United States. And then next, in the winter, I'm expecting a ton of acres coming out of South America, and a good soybean crop out of South America does a lot for the major oil seeds for soybeans and palm. And then on the minor oil seeds, which would be like sunflower and rapeseed and canola, Canada needs a good crop this year. And then if we get another 20, 21, 22 million acres the year after, that's when canola goes back into an adequate to burdensome supply and demand. Not this marketing year or for this new crop, but for the next one, for basically the 23, 24. And that's where you can really see oilseed prices ease. It'd be interesting to happen with biodiesel, because that'll still be a driver for oil. But that's how long it takes on these balance sheets to get it done. It's very interesting. We're going to have elevated prices for a while. I've been in a lot of meetings this past week from the buy side and the sell side, and it's really been the same thing. One question I get is, what are the new lows? I would say for this year, maybe $6 for corn, maybe $10 for wheat, maybe $12 for soybeans, right? If everything goes well for North America. And then if you get another crop cycle, then you can start going into fours and fives with corn, and probably sub, and you know, definitely sub 10 with wheat, and you know, probably $10 with corn. And maybe you get to $7 or $8 with wheat. But just you need those crop cycles. Interesting point that also came up. You know, if we have a recession, and you got so much length in the grain markets, you know, the money flow can, all the money comes out of the grain markets, it can push it down. Definitely can temporarily, but there's still, at the end of the day, we'll eventually trade supply and demand. And I would like to, you know, during our COVID year, where we basically shut down the economy, which I can't see a recession getting worse than the economic damage we did during COVID by shutting it down, and grain demand stayed constant. So money will come and go out of those markets, just like how money left in COVID. But it has probably, if we have a recession, going to have more of an impact on the energy markets than it will on the grains. Not saying it can't impact the grains, it will, but the energy markets most likely will have a bigger impact. That said, as the stock market was dipping below 20%, the bear market line today, crude was just holding like 109, 110 in the front months, which just goes to show we've got supply issues in the energy markets. And something needs to be done for that, whether it's drilling or renewables, or you know, making a conscious effort to ramp up fossil fuels until renewables can catch up. Something's got to give at some point here. Otherwise, we're going to have some pretty big energy issues in the next 6 to 12 months. The only thing that kind of stays that off, it would be a recession. But even today, I mean, I was shocked. We were below that 38.40 line on the stocks. I looked over at crude and was barely changed. We're, you know, 109 or 110 or something like that in July. So that's interesting too. So going forward, if I'm a spec, if I'm spec in this market, I'm probably looking to trend lines for wheat and buying it. I don't know if I want to keep on following it down, but I can see being a bargain hunter. And if I'm on the buy side, I'd be keeping a close eye to some of these breaks too. I mean, over the near term, the next few months between now and U.S. harvest, grains had the potential to get tight. So I wouldn't mind if I'm on the buy side, if I'm a consumer, I'd be looking to buy these breaks. If I'm a spec trader, I'm probably looking to buy these breaks too. If I'm a farmer, I'm holding off on any kind of new crop sales. You know, basically the market is confirming we're going to plant the acres that we thought we would, which is good. That's good. But the thing is, then we're going to come into a summer weather issue period. And there's always some kind of weather market. It's never perfect weather for the whole summer. There's always some kind of scare. Even if it doesn't affect yields, there's always seems to be some kind of scare. And I would probably use that next, that catalyst. That would be the catalyst I'd be looking for if I'm a farmer to make my next round of sales. So right now is probably, and if I'm on the buy side, on the consumer side, I'm not going far out and buying. I'm just taking care of needs now. If we actually can get a pretty decent crop this year in the northern hemisphere, it does help. It does help bring down prices, but prices will still be high enough to encourage as many acres as possible for southern hemisphere and probably northern hemisphere again for 23 and 24. If I'm a farmer too, I'd be taking a look at maybe on the rally, this summer rally, selling a little bit of next year's crop too. Not just new crop, but another crop year going out. Wouldn't hurt to start getting things on the books. If you have an account with me, we can do in the futures market. I think there's some pretty interesting, if you have an OTC account, there's some pretty interesting OTC products that I like for the farther out strategies, especially in markets that are smaller, like something like spring wheat. Something like maybe even canola, oats and rice. If we're doing maybe even hard red winter wheat, if we're doing Chicago wheat, corn and soybeans, you know, it's I don't think it matters. And there's enough liquidity out in some of those farther contracts where we can still keep it in the futures market. Though OTC and structured products do have some interesting kickers and premiums that you can kind of take advantage of along the way. As far as energy, I mean, recession will bring down energy costs, but we're still using more than we produce. I think the production is going to be pretty constant. You know, this, if we do have a recession, most likely it's going to be the demand that comes down rather than the production going higher. That would help ease energy prices. I still like energy on the dips. I'd say out of my favorite markets right now that have the best bull case in the short term, this summer, it's probably hard red winter wheat combined with corn and soybean oil. But, you know, we're also pretty getting long in the tooth in some of these markets and, you know, can kind of go either. We're getting to a point in the marketing year where prices can go either way, up or down a good bit just based on how the summer weather is. And I kind of feel, you know, if I talk to people, the conversations having 6 months ago, we're all thinking the markets would go higher. And now I'm getting to the point where, you know, feeling a little toppy and really the only room to run higher would be through some kind of weather event. So that's where I am now. If you need any help with your trading, with your marketing, whether it be on the cash side or the futures and options and OTC and swaps, let me know. Happy to talk anytime. My number here is 312-706-7610. You can email me at craig.turner@stonex.com. As always, I always appreciate everyone listening. If you like the podcast, please give us a positive review. Send it to anyone that you think might like it. Have yourself a great weekend, and I'll be talking to you next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.